Meet on the resurrection morning. You say, you know what, I don't know if I have or not. Well, you get changed this morning. Yeah. Amen?
Amen?
That's Brother Branham said, you know, he said, you'll never be the same when you leave church. You'll either be closer to God or you'll be further away. Well, I have purposed in my heart, I'm going to be closer to God this morning.
Amen.
I believe you'll get what you put into a service. And the devil or the Lord will provide what you come looking for. If you come looking for a power of God this morning, you'll get a power of God service this morning. If you come looking for failures, well, I've got plenty. I assure you, the devil will find one for you. But you know what? I come to serve the Lord this morning. So let's go ahead and go to St. John chapter 1. We're going to read verses 12 to 13. I was telling my brother Tim back there, I said, brother, if I could get this out here the way I see it back here, brother, it's going to be awesome. That's the challenge. That's the challenge. So go ahead and say amen when you get your scripture there. But as many as received him, to him gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And let's go to St. John chapter 3, verses 27 through 30. John answered and said, a man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. Ye yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom which standeth and heareth him rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This is my joy, therefore is fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease. Let's pray. Father, I come to you this morning. I want to thank you for this opportunity to be here this morning, Lord. I ask you to help me to just be a yielded vessel this morning. Lord, just a microphone that you can speak through. Lord God, I ask you to help this congregation, this portion of the bride right before me this morning. Lord, help them to operate the gift this morning. Lord God, I feel this heavy burden for what I've got to speak this morning. Lord, I give myself to you. Lord, if you decide you want to turn me in a different direction, Lord, I'm completely yielded this morning. I ask you to meet every need this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. I'm going to talk about power unveiled through the bride. Power unveiled through the bride. The most powerful thing that I know of is life. Whether it be a pond lily or a blade of grass, it will fight to live. If it's a wounded deer and the hounds are on his path behind him, he'll struggle to live and he'll look for water. How many knows that? A deer will look for water because if that hound gets his flank, he'll start bleeding and he'll bleed to death unless he gets the water. And that's why we sing that song, as the deer panteth for the water, so my soul longeth after thee. Because if you ever go through a time when you've been the devil has hurt you and you need help, you need to look for water. And the deer will do that because he has life. And because he has life, he has power and a desire to live.
Right.
If it's the life, it is the life in a human it's the life that causes it to struggle to live. The thing about life is it can only manifest what it is. If it's a sheep, it'll bear wool. If it's a tree, it'll bear the fruit of what it is. And if it's the true church, it will bear the word of God. Right. You believe that?
Amen.
The next most powerful thing that I know of is a woman. I mean, how's that? She can make the most impact on this world like no other. A woman can change the environment one way or another in a split second, whether it be in the workplace or at home. You can take a bachelor that's been a bachelor for years, let that woman come into his life, it'll change. She's got power, I'm telling you. She's got a power of influence. She can bring a man down to his knees, whether it be by marriage or by breaking his heart. A woman. Think about it. One of the most powerful things is life and a woman. And you know that a woman tops the church. She can bring a man down to his knees. She is the only one that can bring the male to his full potential, being the husband and a father. A wife can bring the full potential out of her husband by believing on his name. Now think about this. When she receives his name, she receives who he is. She will reflect everything her husband is. In the same sense, a defiled woman will be like water in his blood, and she can destroy the influence of her husband's name. So a man shouldn't just give his name out just to any woman. And the choosing of a bride is something he must weigh the balances on what kind of character she has and what kind of a mother she'll be, because she's going to be the one that's going to carry on his life, and she's going to be the one that's going to reflect everything that he is. The thing about life is, if a bone's broken, all you've got to do is set that bone in place and the healing will take care of itself.
Right.
So being positionally placed is important. Amen? Everybody agree with that?
Amen.
And there's power in believing on the name of Jesus Christ. And as the scripture says, we can't receive anything unless it's given to us from heaven.
Right.
So that means we can try all we want to, and unless God gives it to us, we're not going to have it. But if God gives it to us, we're going to have it. Amen? And that includes our birth. This is what Brother Branham said. That we might be what love the Father has shed upon us, that we, which were sinners, aliens away from God, might be drawn nigh unto God, insomuch that we become sons and daughters of God, not servants. The Gentile church is not a servant. No, sir. The Gentile church is a son and daughter. You are sons and daughters of God who has received the Holy Ghost. Now, if you're an Orpah bunch and turned away, but if you went on through the Holy Spirit, you become sons and daughters. Now, sons and daughters, who has the most power before God? Was it an angel? An angel is a servant. That's right. They're his servants. What are you? His son and daughter. Who has the most power in heaven then? A sinner that's been saved by grace, or an archangel that's standing by his right side? The sinner that's been saved by grace has more authority in heaven than the archangel that stood by his side without sin, because he's a son. Son has more authority than a servant, of course. Oh, we forget what we are. That's what he says. He says, oh, we forget what we are. We forget many times what made us what we are. After we become what we are, then we forget how we get here.
Right.
Our position as a son gives us more authority than an angel. We forget that we have authority. A police officer, if he stops a car coming toward him, a bus coming to you there, that police officer can stand out there, put his hand up, and say, stop in the name of the law. That bus will stop. That man's not depending on his physical capability of stopping that bus. He's depending on the authority that's been given to him. Because if he was to depend on what he could do, what would it be? That bus would go anywhere it wanted to, would run over him. He would have no authority. Nobody would respect him. But it's the authority that he has, he can stop that. All he's got to do with a flash of a light, he can stop that truck. And that's where the church misses it, is she tries to depend upon herself, on how she feels. How true is that? How many times do we depend on the authority that we have by how I feel today? If I feel like I'm on the mountaintop, I've got the authority today. If I don't feel on the mountaintop, well, I don't today. The officer must conduct himself in a certain way in order to keep that authority. The prophet said one time that that's where the church is missing it, is on that walk, because the church is walking under condemnation. And if you walk under condemnation, you can't have faith. How many knows that's right? If you're walking and you're doing things you know it's not wrong, you whenever you go to pray, you'll feel condemnation. You can't even pray.
Amen.
And I'm building a foundation, so just bear with me. Pull with me. If there wasn't a law to that, sons and daughters of God would create them a world out there and go live a private life on it. Now listen to this. You have the power in you to do it. If you've got a shadow of the power of God in you, you've got power to do it. God is omnipotent. See what I mean? The power that's in you will make. You could speak a world into existence and go live on it. Hallelujah. There you are. That's what the power is in the church now, but it is controlled by a law. And that law is not keeping a bunch of commandments. It's a law of faith. How many remembers Brother Brown talking about that woman, a woman that would live like a prostitute, could go through a prayer line and receive her healing? And then a sister of the church could go through there and try to get prayed for and never receive her healing. It's because God honors faith.
Right.
And that's why she was able to receive her healing. And see, that's why a lot of people say, well, I know that it's okay for this woman to preach because I went to her, she prayed for me, I had a tumor, she prayed for me, and I was healed. It wasn't that God was vindicating her position as a preacher. God was vindicating their faith.
Right.
Because by faith, you're healed. Because we're already healed. We have to accept it by faith. See, and that law is not keeping a bunch of commandments. It's a law of faith. Jesus said, all things are possible to them that believe. And if you can believe it, whatever God will lead your soul to believe, that is yours. Every place the sole of your foot can set upon by faith, God gives it to you. Amen? It's yours to possess it. If you can find the key to this law of faith that opens it to you, you see what I mean? The power that is controlled by, if you are sons of God, you are a daughter of God, that never leaves you. It's with you all the time. The power of God is with you, and it does not leave you. Even if you're in the valley, and it feels like everything is going wrong that can go wrong, the power of God does not leave you. But your faith gets away from it. But it's still here, hallelujah. When you are saved, God gives you faith to rise from the muck of this earth. Your faith overcomes the things of the world. What is your faith? Your faith in the act that God has did it in you to make you a son of God. You quit your lying, you quit your stealing, you quit your drinking because faith rises you up above it. Amen. If you don't do it, you don't have faith. And by faith, you are saved, and that through grace. As much as your faith will be released, listen to this, as much as your faith will be released, that's how much power you can have. Because in you dwells the power to make heavens and earth. God dwells in you, and you are sons and daughters of God. Amen. There you are. But it's your faith. Jesus said, according to your faith, be it unto you, if thou canst believe, all things are possible. Verily I say unto you, if you say unto this mountain, be moved, don't doubt, but believe in what you have said. The power of God is in us at all the time, not just when we feel like we're on the mountaintop, but when we feel like we're in the valley. The power of God, I can't say this enough, the power of God does not leave you. Friends, it's when the music's here and you've got the Holy Ghost bumps, you feel like you're on the mountaintop, it's easy to say, you know what, I've got faith.
Right.
But I'm talking about when it's you by yourself and you're out there and it seems like everything that can go wrong is going wrong.
Right.
The power of God has not left you.
Amen.
It's when the doctor says you've got cancer and you've got 2 weeks to live. The power of God has not left you. Nothing. The devil can do nothing unless God allows him to do it.
Right.
You know, when we know who we are and we know what to do with the Word, we can be an invincible army. Even if cancer comes in front of us, not even cancer can stand in front of us. Why? Because we have the power of God.
Amen.
It's in us. When we are born again, we have that speck of life on the inside of us. Brother Brown said, we can actually speak a world into existence. I don't think he's just being silly. I think he's saying we can really do this.
Right.
We can speak a world into existence and go live on that when you have just a shadow of it.
Right.
Of that inside of you. He said, whatever God leads our soul to believe, it's ours. Don't let anyone hinder your faith. Let me say that again. Don't let anyone hinder your faith.
Right.
I remember when I first came to the Lord, I'm telling you what, I believe God could do anything. And I let a brother that was an elder at the church one time told me, he said, Brother Daniel, he said, no, you're not the prophet. He said, you're rising, you're putting yourself in a position, you're going to get hurt, and you're going to hurt anyone that follows you. And you know what? I didn't want to hurt anybody else. And you know what? I stepped down from that. That was wrong.
Right.
You know what? Because if this Bible said I could have something, I could have it. Amen. You know what I was saying? When I believed with all my heart that I could be led by the Lord. And I believe the Lord. I said this. I said, I believe if there's going to be a wreck on this certain street, either God will lead me away from the wreck, or when I go through that wreck, not a hair of my head will be touched unless God allows it.
Right.
Friends, I believe that we can be an invincible army where nothing, the devil can do nothing. If Reading Dodge calls me in the office next time I go to work, say, you don't have a job here, that's okay. You know why? Reading Dodge is not my provider.
Right.
God is my provider.
Amen.
And it just so happens God is gracious enough to allow them the privilege to be the channel that God uses to provide for me. It's them that's blessed, not me.
Right.
It's the same thing for you. It's not Walmart. It's not the plumbing place. It's not where you work at. They are blessed because you're there. Because he's my provider.
Right.
Amen. If God leads you to claim a promise by the word, don't let anyone cause you to doubt. Let's go to Galatians 5, 1 through 10. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is better to do the whole law. Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever you are justified by the law, you are fallen from grace. Think about this. He's talking about people that are trying to walk by the law, live by the law, live by the law. He says, were you justified by the law? You're not justified by the law. You're justified by faith when you receive grace. For ye through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcised, but faith which worketh by love. And if you go on to Galatians, he'll say, so what should we do? Should we go ahead and live in sin and let grace abound? No. He says, God forbid. I can say like the prophet says, you know what? I can go out and drink all the beer I want and do all things. But you know what? I don't want to.
Right.
I have no desire to. No, if I was to go into some foreign country and I was to fall with some woman or go to some other town or whatever, to fall for another woman, I believe my wife would surely forgive me. But I would never do that to her. Because I truly love her. And you as a son or daughter of God, the mistake that you might make, you may make a mistake, and that devil will try to say you're condemned. By faith, you're forgiven. By faith, by grace, you're forgiven. But should I live in sin, let grace abound? God forbid. That's not what he's saying. But whenever you stand as a son of God, you are justified in the sight of God. When God looks at you, it's as if you've never done it in the first place. You did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. I have confidence in you through the Lord that you will be none otherwise minded, but he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. Don't let anybody hinder your faith in the Word of God.
Right.
If this Word says you can have something, you claim it. This message says you can claim your children, you claim your children. People will say, you know what, That doesn't mean that they'll go in the great tribulation. That just means they won't go to hell. I'm claiming I want them in the rapture. You said, my faith ain't that high. Well, that don't touch my faith. Because I'm claiming my children for the rapture. Don't let anybody hinder your faith. You claim it. No, whenever my foot got hurt and we were playing volleyball, I was started to bring the picture. I wish I would have brought it with me. The picture of what my ankle looked like whenever I sprung my ankle. And I'm telling you what, it looked pitiful and it hurt pitiful. I told the Lord, I said, Lord, you know I've got to provide for my family. You know I've got to do these things. I was in fellowship with the saints. I wasn't out trying to do some kind of sinful thing up there and got hurt. I was with my family at church. This happened. Lord, you know everything about it. He knows everything. He knows the end from the beginning. I said, Lord, I need a miracle on this. I need you to heal my foot. I wish I got the picture and I could bring it to and show it to you. My ankle was about that big around. I couldn't even really put my shoe on. My ankle was so huge. We prayed, all the saints prayed right there. And I prayed at home. By the next day, my ankle was already half the size. Within 3 days, I was out there chilling in the garden. And I never missed a lick at work. What am I saying? I could not have even hurt my ankle unless my Lord allowed it.
Right.
Could not have even done it unless God allowed it. And whenever you are walking in the will of God, God will, He'll take care of you. Friend, He'll take care of us. He said your faith gets away from it. Talking about the power of God. We have the power of God in us already, but He says our faith gets away from that. And it's our flesh that gets away from it. What are some symptoms of being away from faith? Because remember, the power of God will be able to release as much as our faith will allow. So if we don't have the faith, the power is not going to be activated. We have the faith in us, but it has to be activated. What are symptoms of being away from faith? No victory. No joy. Settling for whatever the devil gives us. A lukewarm. Having a form of godliness and no power. Lukewarm. It's not, I know, and I'm not teaching you anything you don't already know. Lukewarm is, you're not necessarily out in the world, but you ain't on fire for God either. Lukewarm, like this is cold, because it was cold this morning. This is cold. This ain't lukewarm. But if it was, if this was probably 70 degrees, that'd be pretty lukewarm. Would you agree with that? This is cold. And God would rather you be cold, and He'd rather be hot. Because He does not want you to be lukewarm. So you're lukewarm is, I'm not out in the world, I'm not doing the things of the world, but I ain't on fire for God either. I'm not reading my Bible like I should. I'm not praying like I should. I'm not seeing the signs and the fruit in my life like I should. It's because I'm lukewarm. I believe that we can look at nature, and look at nature, we can chop things out through the Bible. I just believe that. Now, I remember I used to have a houseplant back when I was a bachelor. My grandma gave it to me. And I loved this houseplant. I don't even know what it was called. It was green. And, I guess we're all green. But I had this houseplant, and I stuck that thing inside the living room, and I said, you know what? This thing needs a lot of light. Because if I don't give it sunlight, this thing's going to die. So I take the water, I pour the water inside that plant, I stick it inside the window there and open the blinds up. I ain't got nothing nobody wants to steal anyway. I open that blinds up, let that plant get all the light it could possibly get. I go to work, I come back, that thing's dead. I mean, cooked. I'm like, now what in the world happened here? This is a plant. Everyone knows that plants need light, and they need water. I gave it water, I gave it light. Why did this thing die? You know why? It's because that plant couldn't stand that much light. It was too much. It wasn't made for it.
Right.
Hello. You know, there's some people that can't stand this message because it's too much light.
Right.
You can give them the water, they can praise, they can worship, but let them stay in the presence of this message, it'll cook them. And you know what? I want this message to cook me. Cook out anything out of me that's dead. Anything that's green, rather.
Yeah.
I want it to make me a mature plant. And no, in talking about those things, I believe with all my heart that you can look at nature and you can tell by the fruits of a plant on how healthy that thing is. If you've got, I don't care how pretty your squash plant is, if you ain't got squash, it may as well be dead. Hello?
Right.
If I'm going to go through the trouble of tilling that ground and putting that manure in there and doing the things I got to do and weed that thing, I don't care how pretty the plant is, I want fruit. And you know what? I don't care how pretty the church is. I don't care how pretty the building is. I want the fruit. Amen?
Amen.
I'd rather have a plant that looked just plumb hideous. People look at it and they say, my goodness, look at that plant. That thing's plumb ugly. But he's got big old squash all over it. I'd rather be an ugly looking little plant and have fruit than be a beautiful plant and ain't got no fruit.
Amen?
Amen? I want to have life.
Right.
And when we have the power of God inside us, we have the potential to manifest the power of God. But we got to have our faith.
Right.
And faith which worketh by love. Amen.
Yeah.
I love this message. I'm telling you, it's wonderful. You won't have any symptoms of not having faith. There's no victory, no joy. Settling for whatever the devil gives us. Lukewarm. Having a form of godliness and no power. Sinful living will start to creep in and we'll begin to talk about things that we shouldn't. We'll start doing things we didn't do when we were on fire for God. We'll start to have idols. This is what Brother Brown said. He said, Israel lost her faith. They got off the path. They began to lust for flesh pots. If they had stayed with faith and believing that God was going to take them to the land, there would have been nothing hinder them. They had already opened up seas. They had smoked plagues upon their enemies. They had crucified their enemies behind them and had walked over into the land and still couldn't have faith to go on to the promise. Joshua and Caleb had that faith. They said, we are more than able to conquer anything that would come before us. That's the trouble with the church. We can conquer every disease. We got the power in us. We are the sons of God. Nothing can stand before us. Only thing, he wants to find somebody who will believe it. Who will believe that God has already done for you. Not we will be, we are now. And the ever-living presence of the Spirit is with us. Amen. There you are. Let's go to St. John chapter 3, 17 through 21. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. We need to come to the light. If you say, you know what, I'm finding where these symptoms of no faith, I'm seeing that in my life. I'm seeing these things. What can I do? Get back to the light. Get back to this message because it will burn. I don't care how little your light is. You bring darkness. You put that light, that candle to that light, it'll chase it away. You take the light that you have and you take this message and you see if you don't start seeing fruits coming back again. Amen?
Amen?
When we come to the presence of the Lord, he will correct us. The word will expose the unbelief in our heart. That is why it's so important to walk in light. When the correct ingredients are given, listen to this, when the correct ingredients are given, cells will manifest what they are supposed to. Talking about cells. Cells will manifest what they are supposed to, and some may manifest an ear or an eye, but collectively they form a body. But if a cell backslides, it will manifest a deformed life. Now, I got this off of a health report about cells. This is from a doctor. Normal cells have uniform shapes and sizes. Cancer cells have a large variety of sizes and shapes. The nucleuses are irregular structure and have relatively small cytoplasm. Cells stop dividing when it's too much of its kind or present. These cells grow and divide in a controlled manner and follow a predictable lifestyle. Normal cells undergo the process of apoptosis, whatever that is, self-destruction. This is what it is. Normal cells undergo the process of apoptosis. This is what that means. They self-destruction if they detect abnormities and damages in their organelles. In other words, they have a balanced life. When your cells, spiritual cells, are working correctly, when stuff starts, you start getting too much, you will start self-destructing things and saying, I've got to start making some changes. Because if you don't, abnormities are going to start taking place in your life. Cancer cells don't stop growing, resulting to the appearance of a tumor, a cluster of mutant cells. As far as communication in cells, it says normal cells communicate with each other to proper functioning. Cancer cells do not communicate with each other. So cancer cells, that means they're going to take you away from church. They'll take you away from fellowship. Because rather than their cells working together with the other cells, they're going to go off by themselves. And they'll start causing a deformity. These cells have external membranes that allow them to bond with each other. Cancer cells lose the molecules that keep the cells bonded together, love and faith. These cells have the ability to invade or spread to other parts of the body by traveling through the bloodstream or the lymphatic system, metastasis. Influence. You let someone that's starting to fall away through the bloodstream, they'll start influencing the next part of the body, the next part of the body, the next part of your body. It doesn't just stay by itself.
Right.
It'll spread. It can be bitterness. It can be where you don't feel like you're loved. It'll work like a cancer. And it won't stop with you. It'll go through the bloodstream, through the whole body.
Right.
Listen to this. As far as specialization, it says, normal cells start out as immature cells and mature with certain specialized functions. So a normal cell will start immature and becomes mature with age. Cancer cells do not mature and undergo apoptosis. Instead, these cells become immature over time. Oh my. Sounds like a lot of people got cancer, don't it? At one time, they were mature in the gospel. They knew how to walk and live, and now they're like kindergartens all over again. They're living like they're just a little baby. We're supposed to be eating strong meat right now.
Right.
Cancer cells are primitive, and they don't have any specialized functions. In other words, they don't even know their position. A cancer cell doesn't know what his position is. And that's why he doesn't become an ear when he's supposed to be an ear. It'll look abnormal because he doesn't know what he is. Is there ever a day, like right now, when so many people don't know who they are? Could you imagine that officer not knowing who he is and trying to step out in front of that bus? He could be out there in a shirt just like I've got on and step out for the bus, stop in the name of... Because he don't know who he is. Because if he knows who he is, he'll dress the way he's supposed to dress.
Right.
He'll act the way he's supposed to act. Listen, friends, whenever you walk in this message and you're led by the Spirit in this message, people will see the uniform. Amen. People see the uniform.
Right.
I was in a vehicle yesterday. People I've never met in my entire life. I'm talking to them about the vehicle. I'm not saying anything about anything. I'm talking about the vehicle. Talking about these things, and we're going down the road. They said, are you a minister? I said, well, I don't claim to be much of one, but I try to do what the Lord does. They said, well, you may not know it, but you're a minister. I said, why do you say that? They said, because you have an authority about you. I said, well, I appreciate that very much. I'm trying to sell a car. You know what? If you walk in this message and you're led by the Spirit, people will see the uniform.
Right.
I don't have to carry my badge and say, hey,
I'm an officer. I'm an officer. I'm an officer. Hello. Or go out telling everybody, hey, I'm a cop. All right. I am a cop. Any bus comes through, I'm going to stop that. But I don't have to do that. All I got to do is walk in the shoes, in the nature that I'm supposed to walk as a cop. And when I do that, people will see me and say, hello, officer. Amen.
Right.
If we will walk in this message, people will see the uniform. We'll have the wedding garment on. Amen.
Right.
Because what are we doing different? We're just being a son of God. You know, a sheep, he don't try to manufacture wool. He just bears wool. That's all he does. This sheep was selling a car. I was just bearing wool. You put yourself in the same shoes on your own life of when someone can say, you know what, there's something different about you. When you go to the grocery store, there's something different about you. When someone shortchanges you, you don't say, where's the rest of my money? Or they double, they put onions on your bean burrito. And you said, no beans on a bean burrito. And you walk in there and you're Sunday best. And the OMS say, I said no onions on the bean burrito. And you say you want $10 an hour and you can't even follow directions. And everyone else is over sitting and they see you coming in. And they say, oh, wow, look how pretty she's dressed coming inside her. Ain't that just wonderful when she gets out of the van and she walks in there? And they're thinking, they're looking at her. They say, wow, she is so pretty. See the long hair? I believe that's right. And they see you coming in and you got your bag of burritos. And you slap it on the counter and you say, why did you put onion on my burrito? And the people over here, they said, never mind. They turn around and look down. You know, I believe it happens more than we realize, guys. Mm-hmm. It's whenever things are going wrong, that's whenever it really shows the test. You know what? If I was, and Brother Tony's not here, so I can't give an example, but I will anyway. He tests motors. When you test those motors, you don't put it in the perfect conditions to where it's nice and cool, a perfect temperature. You can't test it like that because whenever that motor goes under the pressure, that's when you can test what that motor's made of.
Right.
And friends, that's the way it is with us. It's not under the perfect conditions while we're sitting in church when the minister's preaching to you and you feel the Holy Ghost bumps and you can say, yeah, you can preach it to them, brother. They need it. Yeah. A lot of people bring a pitchfork to church. When they preach, they say, yeah, here, you take some of that. Here, person, oh, she needs some of this. Here, get you some of that, sister. Well, we need the rank. Yes, brother, I need that.
Amen.
I need that. Hallelujah. Oh, that hurt. Give me some more. Amen.
Amen.
It's during the pressures. When things are going wrong, that's when the test takes place.
Right.
And you know what? I thank God for it. Because you know what? You put that motor on the test, and you're going through the hardships, and all of a sudden you see it short out. You can look at that two ways. You can say, oh my goodness, we've got to take it back to the laboratory now and fix the problem. Why am I, cry over it? Or you can say, praise God, I found the problem before we got it to the customer. I found it in time. So now I know I've got a problem, I got to fix it. Because if that problem never took place, you'd have never known you had that down inside you. You'd have never known you had the problem until that test came. When those tests come up, you don't rise up that anger that comes out of where in the world did that come from?
Right.
You fly out the handle, blah, 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 blah. And you'll think to yourself, I didn't even know I had that. You can look at that two ways. You can say, oh, man, I got to go back to the drawing board and say, Lord, help me get rid of this thing. You can look at that, or you can say, praise God. Thank you, Lord, for showing me that I had that inside me because I didn't realize it. Thank you, Lord, because I want to address this before I get there, before I get to my customer, which is the Lord Jesus. Thank God, whenever you find something and you fall, you're going through and you fall into some kind of lust. You're drawn away from your lust and you fall into something. You can look at it two ways. Oh, God, I can't believe I made a mistake again. I did it. You can look at it that way, or you can say, praise God. Thank you, Lord, for showing me that I had that in me. I didn't realize I still had that. Thank you, Lord, for that. And you go back to the altar and say, Lord, I fell on my face. I got led away, and the Lord says, I know you did. That's why I allowed the devil to cause you to trip and fall. Because you didn't know you had that problem. The devil didn't even know you had that problem. I knew you had that problem. And that's why I allowed these things to take place for you to see you need to work on these things. Thank you, Lord.
Right.
He's my tutor. Amen?
Amen.
He's my tutor. Hannah's our homeschool student. If I look at that and I see she needs to work on something, and she thinks, you know what, I got this made. I've got Algebra 1 done. I got this. But I'm on a higher level than her. I can say, no, she don't. She don't realize that, but I know it. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to give her a harder problem. I'm going to give her a hard problem, and Hannah's going to be going to school. She's like, oh, I got this. I got this. I got Algebra 1 down. And all of a sudden, she falls flat on her face. She hits a brick wall. How in the world do I get over this? I'm so dumb. I used to know these things. Hello? How did I make this mistake?
Right.
It's because I engineered it that way. I wanted her because she thought she was ready, and I knew she wasn't. So I am going to allow the devil to put something in her way, to allow her to fall. That way she realizes I need to work on these things.
Right. Amen.
Does that make sense? The law is the schoolmaster. The Lord will allow the devil to cause these things to take place to help us. If we get sick over something and you fall in that and you struggle with that, getting over that faith, it's just because God is allowing you. God's showing you. You need to work on your faith, sister. You need to work on your faith, my brother. I'm allowing you to have this. It's a gift. Our trials is a gift. Sure don't feel like one, does it? Don't to me, anyway. Maybe I'm the only one in the building, but I go through trials sometimes. I'm like, oh my goodness, I don't know if I can do anymore. Is this okay?
Yeah.
Normal cells recognize signals. They know when there are enough new cells and they stop dividing. In other words, normal cells can receive leadership. They can be led by the Lord. And I say, you know what? You're doing something. He's like, you start feeling sick. Like, okay, I'm doing too much of this. I need to back off. Because you have to have a balanced life. I believe that. You have to have a balanced life. On anything. Because too much of anything can be bad. Anything.
Right.
I don't care what it is. If it's sitting in the deer woods, I believe you can sit in the deer woods too much.
Right.
You know, if you're fishing too much. If you're going to playing basketball too much. I believe you can do that too much.
Right.
There has to be a balance. And a good cell operating correctly will make the changes. And they'll say, we need to stop. But a cancer cell, they don't recognize signals. Hence, these cells erratically reproduce mutated cells. They get to the point, they don't even recognize the presence of God anymore. One time, the prophet said, that's why so many people will miss the rapture. Listen. He said, the reason so many people will miss the rapture is they don't even recognize the presence of God anymore. They mistake it for some kind of a feeling. You go to the church over next door, they've got the drums beating, they've got the music going. Oh, they've got they believe they've got the Holy Ghost. Maybe on their flesh sometimes they do, but the Holy Ghost here is where it's at. That's why Billy Graham could go and he could lead 10,000 souls and give their heart to the Lord. 10,000 of them. Think of this. This is not me just throwing out numbers. 10,000 people come to the altar. So you want to say, why do we have to go to the message? Why the message? What's different about us and all the other churches? Good question. Let me show you. Billy Graham would lead 10,000 souls to the Lord. They'd come up there. They'd come to the altar. They'd say the prayer. They would all branch off. Some would go to Baptist. Some would go to Methodist. Some would go to the denominational church. And you know what they'll do? They will become a Methodist, a Baptist, a whatever you want to be. Methodist. You get what I'm saying? They will become the doctrine of that church.
Right.
10,000 souls would come to the altar. He comes 6 months later and couldn't find three that were still serving the Lord.
Right.
Think of it. 10,000 people come to them, go through the motions, tears come out of their eyes, go to the front, say the prayer, go to church, and 3 months later come back. You can't find three of them that are changed. Brother Brennan said, this is why. He says, when you do this, you need to preach about 3 or 4 day meeting when you're doing something like that, because that person has got to die. You've got to be there in the presence of the Lord, but that old man, that old nature inside you will die. And when that nature dies on the inside of you, God's nature inside you, the power of God will come through and you will manifest the life of Jesus Christ. Because the church is not Spirit, Truth, Assembly, Methodist, Baptist.
Right.
It's none of these things. It's not even Spirit, Truth, Assembly. It's the body of Christ.
You are baptized into the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because, see, if Spirit Truth Assembly was it, then you could just join the church. And you'd be doing no more than you would be doing Methodist, Baptist, or any other denomination. Just joining a church does not get you into a body. You are born. I'm adopted, so it's kind of hard for me to explain this in this way, but I'm going to say it to my boy. His last name is Black. He didn't just join the family of being Black. Or he didn't write a piece of paper to get Black. He didn't sign a piece of paper and say, now I'm going to be a Black. He was born Black. When he was born, he had my life inside him. My blood was inside him. He's my son. He was born. And whenever we are join the body of Christ, we don't sign a piece of paper to join that or just join a church to do that. We are born into the church of the bride. And that's why there's a small portion that's here. When I am born again by one Spirit, I am baptized into one body, one faith, one Lord, one baptism. I am born. When I die to myself and I receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, I am baptized into the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Is that the truth? And that's why there's a small portion here. You may be an ear portion of this body. But you don't join that. You're not in that ear just because you go to church here. That does not put you in the ear. You know, churches will tell you that. But that's wrong. That's just as wrong as going to a Methodist church or a denominational church. It's the same thing. You are born into the body. You die to the old man. And when you die, the old nature on the inside of you, he has to die. Because, see, you can take a hog, you can clean that hog up, you can shave him, you can clean him up, you can put cologne on him, you can make him look like a citizen the best you can, teach him how to walk, you know, a certain way. Give him a name, say, Bob the Hog. You know, you train this hog to walk a certain way, you can do it all you want to. But listen, friends. You put a mud pen here or a house here, he'll hit the mud pen every time. And the reason is the nature inside him is a hog. And that's the same way it is with us. We have to die on the inside. There has to be a death of the old guy, and a new nature will actually come inside, and that nature will bear the life of Jesus Christ. So, well, you don't make yourself quit drinking. I used to drink. I'm telling you, I would wake up at 2 in the morning and my hands would be shaking if I didn't get up and drink. I had to get up and drink alcohol. But I'm here to tell you something. When I gave my heart to the Lord and I died, God took that away from me. He took the desire away. Before that, many times I would take a step toward the Lord and I'd go right back to the first party that took place. I'd be right there in the midst of it drinking all over again. And a few days later, or the next day, I feel so condemned. I was like, oh, I hate it. Why did I do that? How did I make those mistakes? God was testing me because God was showing me you're not ready. And so I fall on my face. I say, oh my goodness. And I try again. I try to start doing it just a little bit. And in the next party, I fall right back into it again. But friends, when God changed my nature, when I died to the old man, he changed my nature. This nature inside can't do those things anymore. It can't. I can't go back to the bar room. I can't do it because my nature has been changed. And that's what it is when you're born into the bed, when you're Ephesians 4:30 says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, you're sealed into the day of your redemption. You've got to get the seal. And that is the seal as a finished product. Remember, Brother Branham talked about, in Questions on the Holy Ghost, he talked about the truck. Loading the trucks up, you'd have all the stuff inside there, and they would say they're loading jars, okay? You got this big truck, semi-trailer. They're putting the jars inside this trailer. There's an inspector that will come inside that trailer, and he'll inspect inside that trailer. If he sees stuff moving around inside there, he will go out, he will go to the loaders and say, I'm not going to put the seal on the truck because it's not ready. You're going to have to go back to the truck, repack it, because things are too loose. And Brother Graham said this way. He said, you got too many loose things in your life, a little loose on your temper, a little loose on this, a little loose on that. You fill in the blanks of where it may be. So the inspector would say, you're going to have to go back and work on these things. So they would have to go back and work on the trailer. Fix the stuff that's shaking. They'd have to rework the trailer. Sometimes I imagine it got frustrating. Hello? Sometimes you'll be going through this life and you'll make a mistake and you're in the mud bin. You're like, how in the world did I get this? You look at two ways. You can say, my goodness, I got to go back there and fix it. Or you can say, thank you, Lord Jesus, for showing this to me. Because I thought I was great, but I'm not. And you can go back to the altar. Say, Lord, help me. And once that inspector goes through that trailer and everything is in its place, things aren't shaking, he's got a golden seal. They'll close the trailers on that truck. He'll put that seal on that door. And nobody can open that seal until it gets to its destination. Because it's been sealed. And friends, that's what we got to get. We got to get the seal. You got to get the seal. So if you find yourself and you're in the mud bin, you can look at it two ways. I can't say it enough. You can look at it and say, my goodness, I got to go back and roll the trailer again. I got to go back and do it. You can say it that way. Or you can say, thank you, Lord, for your grace for showing me that. Because I did not know I had that knowledge. Because it's grace. God allows the devil to put the things in front of you. He allows it, but it's for a purpose. Because many times you don't realize you have that. And if you don't know it's there, you don't know what to do about it. How would you feel if you find rapture morning take place, and you're after the rapture, and then you figure out you have this in your life? You say, God, why didn't you should have shown me that. I believe he does have to show us that. When we have a guy, think about this. What if you go on a hunting trip, and you go to a mountain, and you have a guide? This guide, you're going to a territory that you don't know about. Brother Branham talks about this. He says, there's this father and this son. They said, we don't need a guide. We can go this. I'm just as good as outdoorsman as anybody. He takes his son, maybe the boy's like 5 years old, took him up into the mountains. He says, I don't need a guide. So he goes up into the mountains with his 5-year-old boy. And imagine, think of the excitement of this 5-year-old boy. I'm getting to go hunting with daddy. The greatest highlight of a young boy's life. I get to go hunting with daddy. He's got his orange on. He's got his hat on. He sees his dad maybe walking through the snow. You know, Brother Graham used the illustration about the man on Christmas. He was going house to house. He'd take a little drink. He'd go to the next house. He'd take another drink. Go to the next house, take another drink. And all of a sudden, he got to where he drank so much, he started staggering a little bit because he had drunk so much. And he looked behind him. He seen this boy. And his boy was trampling all over the snow. He looked back at him. He said, son, what are you doing? He said, I'm trying to follow your footsteps, daddy. Let that hit you. So this father, he was going to go up to the mountains, and he dressed his son up. His son was dressed up just like daddy. And I bet he was trying to step just like daddy. And he took him up on top of the hill. He said, I don't need no guide. He's been told, you got to have a guide. He said, I don't need no guide. I'm just as good as an outdoorsman as anybody else. In other words, I can hear from God just like you can. I don't have to have your prophet. I can hear just like you can. Hello? He thought he didn't need a guide. He took his 5-year-old boy up on the mountain. And think about the mountains up there. Brother says about this. He says, you got to know, being a God, you got to know what to do under extreme circumstances because things can change very quickly. In just a few moments, it can be just as clear, sunny, and everything. In just a few minutes, you can have an absolute blizzard on top of you. You got 10 foot of snow. You got to know what to do. That's what Brother Graham talked about. There's times that you can build a fire, and you can put dirt on top of that, and it'll warm the dirt, and you can actually lay on top of that dirt, and it won't burn you, because you got the depth, and it'll keep you warm. Or it says you can actually climb up a tree, up and down, up and down, up and down, because your movement makes you hot, and it keeps you warm, keeps you alive. You have to know little things like that, being a guy. Well, this guy said, I don't need no guy. He takes his 5-year-old boy up there in the midst of that, and all of a sudden it's so sunny. I imagine he said, see, son, we don't need that prophet. We don't need that message. See, we don't need that, son. Look at this. Look, there's elk over there. We're going to get those elk. See, we don't need the prophet of God. We don't need the message. Come on, son, I'm going to show you. And all of a sudden, it went from pretty sunlight in just a few moments, really quick, then it got dark really fast. And all of a sudden, I can imagine that father, he got scared all of a sudden. I imagine there was something come on the inside of him. And he said, oh my goodness, what's fixing to take place? I don't know what to do because I don't have a guide.
And it said that, that man sat there under that tree holding his boy in his arms, and they froze to death. That boy depended on daddy to do what's right. And there was a God, but he said, I don't need the God. I know what to do. I'm telling you something, you need a prophet. You need a prophet of God. He said, behold, I'll send unto you Elijah the prophet, and he'll turn the hearts of the fathers back to the children, the hearts of the children back to the fathers. That's why we got a message. This message is under the extreme, because there's going to be a quick change real soon. There's going to be a change real fast. Just like it was sunlight, all of a sudden it got dark really quick, and tribulation period had already set in place. And he missed it because he didn't talk to God. The thing about a God is, when you have that God, he'll take your social security number, he'll take all of your information, and that God is responsible for you. He is 100% responsible for you. But you have to listen to what he says. If that God tells you, you've got to do this, you bring only this on your in your back, you only this in your backpack. This is all you can bring. That's all you can bring. If he says you must go over here and do not drink from that stream, you can't drink from that stream. There's a reason. You know, us, we can look at that and say, there ain't a thing wrong with that stream. It's clear water. I see fish inside there. If there was something wrong, the fish would be dead. But that God knows. You drink from that stream, you're going to get sick. That God, he is responsible for you. You have to listen to what he says. Because if you go on your own and you say, you know what, I don't have to listen to that God, then you yourself have disembarked yourself from that God. I want to listen to my God. He's got my social security number. He's got my number. He's got my name. We have a God. Brother Brown talked about how he was out, if I remember right, it was right after his honeymoon. And they went to the deer woods to go hunting. How he got away with that, I don't know. But he went to the deer woods on his honeymoon. And he left her there. And he went off hunting. And he thought to himself, you know what, I'm a God. I'm a God. I've been in the woods all my life. I ain't going to be lost. Prophet of God, a man that knows the woods. He's the man that was just we were just talking about, knows how to climb up the tree and everything. He says, I don't need him. And he goes out there and he's doing his thing. And he says, oh, I need to start getting back to my wife now. And he starts going. This is a man that knows the woods. And he's going, and he's going, and he's like, wait a minute, I was just here. This is the tree I was just at. Okay, I'm going to focus now. Where am I at? Thinking as a God of his capabilities. He's, I'm going to think now. Okay, this is where I am. I can feel the moss on the back of the tree. Okay, this is where I am. This is the direction that I need to go. And he focuses. He's thinking clearly. He starts walking. Concentrating on his own ability. And he ends up right back where he started. And he says, no, what's going on here? I've done something wrong. Again, he focuses. He feels the tree. Okay, this is north. This is the way I need to go. He focuses. He's walking. He's thinking, all right, I know where I'm going. And the next thing you know, he's right back where he was again. How often do we feel that way in our lives sometimes? We'll think to ourselves, all right, I know I need to think clearly now. This is where I am. That's where I need to be in my experience. This is where I am. That's where I need to go. Okay, I'm going to start walking now. I'm going to start walking now. That's where I was. That's where I got to be. I'm walking. And the next thing you know, you're right back where you started. Somehow, I ended up in the mud again all over again. How did I do this? And he started getting desperate because a storm was coming. And he didn't know what he was going to do. He's like, my wife's going to die if I don't do that over my ignorance. Because I knew better. I shouldn't have done this. And in the midst of that, he said, oh, Lord Jesus, I humble myself now. That's what we need to do. We need to humble ourselves. And Lord, I thought I could do it, and I can't. I need your help, Lord. God, I ask you to help me now. Show me the way. And he said, all right, I'm going to go now. And he started to walk in the wrong direction. And somebody touched him on his back. And he turned around, and he was looking for a rope that went to where his wife was. Felt something touch him on the back, and he turned around. And all the fog opened up all the way down. And he could see that line that he needed to grab a hold to and walk that line and get all the way to his wife. You may feel like, you know what, I've been going the wrong way.
for someone that can touch you right now. He can be touched by the feeling of your infirmities this morning. You say, Lord, I know where I'm at. I know where I need to be. I know the mistakes that I have. I know these things. But how do I get there? Because I've been trying. I've been trying so hard. I've been trying. This is where I'm at. That's where I need to go. And I've been trying to do this. And it seems like I keep ending back up where I started. How can I do it? There's a line this morning. You can get a hold of that line. And you hold that line. And it'll take you all the way. We've got a line this morning that you can get a hold of. And he'll lead you right to that path all the way to the tower. Safety. We need a guide. Amen.
I'm only halfway through with what I wanted to say to you. I ain't even got close. We were talking about this cancer. I want you to listen to what Brother Ben says. The cancer comes from a bruise. For instance, my hand, it hasn't got any cancer on it. And it may have some time. Well, what causes a cancer? A small cell, a germ in my body, backslides. Listen to this. Some cell, germ in my body, backslides, gets bruised or something sets in. And from that germ or cell, it starts multiplication of cells multiplying, and it forms a cancer, and it starts eating into the body. Now, every life and every bit of life there is comes from a germ. And you yourself are from a germ of life. You came one time, you were just a teeny little germ, so small they couldn't be seen by the natural eye. You came from your father. You're nothing, none of your mother's blood at all. The blood comes from the male sex. And then from that germ, it becomes to multiplying cells and after its kind. Listen, a germ from a dog will bring a dog. From a bird, a human, a human. If nothing interrupts God's program, nothing interrupts it, it'll bring forth a perfect, normal child. And it'll grow to a perfect, normal adult if nothing interrupts it. But when something interrupts it, then it's bound to the evil that interrupts God's program. God didn't intend you to be sick. God made you in His likeness. He wants you to be well. He's done everything He can do to keep you well. God wants us physically and spiritually well. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 5. For you were sometimes darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done in them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See ye then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. I'm just going over this just real quickly, the last thing before we close here. Brother Brennan was going to, he was in Africa. He was going to do a trip. And you can find this testimony. I believe it's in the African testimony. Brother Brennan was going to go to Africa. And he was going to do this, preach the gospel. On his way there, the Lord told him, you don't go there. You go here. And the brothers wanted to follow the plan. This is the plan. We're going to go from here to this place, to this place, to this place. I can't remember the names of the places. So I'll just tell you in layman's. Best I can. You can go study the message. You'll find it. He told them, he said, you go from here. The plans were you go from here to this place, to this place, to this place. Brother Brown, the Lord told him, he said, you don't go there. You go this way. And it looked crazy. Why would you go that way? But that's what the Lord told him to do. He told the brothers, he said, brothers, we can't go that way. The Lord told me we have to go this way. And they said, no, brother, the Lord didn't tell you to do that.
We are all brothers. We all prayed about this trip, and this was the plan. We're supposed to go this way. And Brother Graham said, brothers, I'm telling you, the Lord told me we shouldn't go that way. We're supposed to go this way. And I believe it was Brother Boswell. I believe it was the one. I can't remember if it was him or Brother Baxter. Like I say, go study the message, you'll find the name. He was like a father to Brother Branham. He said, Brother Branham, they were laying down. Brother Branham said, brother, I feel led. This is what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to go that way. And he says, no, brother, you're wrong. You're not the only, and one of the brothers said, you're not the only one that can hear from the Lord, Brother Branham. Let's go this way. And Brother Branham said, we're really not supposed to go. And Brother Branham didn't want to go, but he went ahead and went. Even though he didn't know it was the right way. He went ahead and went. And when they went that way, Brother Branham told him again in the car. He said, brothers, we shouldn't go this way. I'm telling you, the Lord told me we should not go this way. We're supposed to go that way. That's the way we're supposed to go. They said, brother, you're not the only one that can hear from the Lord. This is the way we're supposed to go. Remember what I told you? Don't let anybody hinder your faith. When the Lord tells you to do something, you do that and you don't worry about what someone else tells you, as long as it matches the word. Brother Branham said, we can go ahead and go, but I'm telling you right now, it's not going to be blessed. He said, it's going to be problems. We're going to have problems with this, brothers. And they said, well, we're going to go. This is where we're supposed to go. And when they went, it was one heartache after another. It even got to the point where everybody got sick. And for, I think it was over 6 months, they were sick. And Brother Branham told them, he said, you brothers, remember what I told you. I told you we weren't supposed to go this way. We were supposed to go that way. And come to find out, when he got back to the States, come to find out there was a parasite that got into the people's drinking stuff, and the people got the parasite inside of them because it was in that area. If they would have went that other direction, they would have completely missed the parasite. You see how important it is to be led by the Lord? I believe the Lord can lead us. If there's a car accident a certain way, I believe the Lord can tell you, turn around and go that way. And someone can tell you, why are you doing this? Because I feel led of the Lord. That's why. We need to learn to be led by the Lord and be sensitive to the leading of the Lord. Because the Lord will lead us. He will. He will lead us. Because they didn't listen to him. They got a parasite. And it caused heartache and pain one after another. I just wonder sometimes if we don't pick up some parasites ourselves, spiritual parasites, because we don't follow the leading of the Lord. What do you mean, Brother Daniel? I mean, you can find yourself in a lot of heartaches that you didn't even have to go through because you weren't led by the Lord. As a father, as a husband, as a trustee, as a minister, as a son, I want to be led by the Lord to where everybody that's under me can avoid the parasites. I don't want any parasites.
Right.
Is that all right?
Yeah.
Brother Brandon was shown that as an example, to show me we need to be led by the Lord. And for that, after that, Brother Brandon, any time he would go, he would pray until he knew he was in the name of the Lord. And then whenever he went, he would go. I tell you right now, on one of our trips in Honduras, we were at Catacombs. We were going a certain way, and we were driving down the truck, going that way, and I felt so checked. I'm telling you, I felt so checked going down the road. And I told my brothers, I said, I was thinking to myself, Lord, what do I need to do? I don't know what to do. And the Lord told me, go to a gas station over here. I said, brother, we need to go to a gas station, brother. Let's go over here. And he said, oh, brother, we got plenty of water and everything. I said, brother, we need to go to the gas station. And he said, well, why? I said, brother, I just need to use the restroom. He said, brother, they're going to have a nice restroom. I said, I don't care, brother. Let's go to the restroom. Okay, brother, we'll go to the restroom. We ended up going to over here, and we met some other brothers that were going to come with us that wanted to go to the meeting, and we went a completely different route. God's my witness. If we'd have kept going that route right up there, there was people waiting on the road up there. Whether they were a gang up there. They were going. They were waiting for us to come through because they heard there was an American with them. If I wouldn't have listened to the Lord, I don't know what would happen. Maybe it would, I don't believe it would have took my life because the Lord ain't done with me, but I could probably be hurt. We need to be led by the Lord, friends. Because not just those things, I'm talking about a rapture that's going to take place.
there's going to be a rapture of this church where that we are going to take a body change. And we need to be led by the Lord. How many times would it be a young person, you know, that old devil will try to tempt you to go, you know what your parents say, it's you don't have to do that. It's okay. You don't have to. You don't have to do these things. I've started to show you about God. God gave us a God that we could follow. And this God will lead us to the rapture. Let's all stand. We can be led by the Lord this morning. You know, I've talked about things this morning that, without a doubt, I'm sure it's probably stepped on maybe someone's toes. And if you feel that way, the Lord will never leave you beaten down. The Lord will never leave you down. He'll always lead you to repentance. He'll always lead you to a higher life. And if you feel like you're going down the road and it seems like you're going through this life and it seems like one after another, one trial takes place, one other trial takes place, one other trial takes place. You're like, I don't know how I keep getting up in the same problem place where I used to start. I was at a service and I heard this preacher preach, this evangelist preach, and I listened and somehow I got right back to where I started. Brother Benham called it the death man's walk. That's what he called that. It's where you're walking through the woods and you're trying to find your way and you keep finding yourself in the same old spot again. If you're finding yourself in that, in your experience this morning, you say, you know what, I feel like I'm walking in circles. The children of Israel walked in circles for 40 years because they would not enter into rest. That's what the scripture says. It says they could not enter into his rest because of why? Their unbelief. We have to believe on the name of the Lord. He's looking for someone this morning that'll believe him. But the reason they could not enter into that rest for 40 years is they would not believe. And that's all he's asking this morning, is simply believe. Believe you're his son. Believe that God has paid the price for you. Believe that you're more than able. Let's just bow our heads this morning as if quite softly. Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you this morning, Lord, and I just want to thank you for the service you've given us today, Lord. Lord, there's a power that you've put inside of us. Lord, as I've shown by the scriptures and your message, Lord, it's operated by faith through love. Lord God, there's my precious brothers and sisters here this morning, Lord. I ask that the power of God be released within them, Lord, that you'll meet their needs, Lord. Lord God, no matter what their state is, if they feel like they're on the mountaintop or they feel like they're in the valley, if they feel like they're ready to graduate, spiritually, or if they feel like they're just in kindergarten all over again. Lord, may you help us see that the tutor's here and you're ready to teach us. You're patient with us and you're ready to take us by the hand and you're ready to talk to us. God, I ask you that you will walk the aisle right now. If you need help this morning, why don't you just lift your hand up to him? Say, Lord God, I need your help. And God sees your hands, the ones that are up. Lord God, the hands that have gone up this morning, I ask you to go to them right now in your own way, on their own level, Lord. Lord God, in their own experience, in their trailer, Lord, they've got loose things in their life, Lord. Maybe a loose temper, or a loose tongue. Or, Lord, you know you're the discerner of the heart. You know what's going on there, Lord Jesus. I ask you, Lord, go with them right now. Take them by the hand, Lord God. Lead them to the areas in their life that need change, Lord. Lead them to the areas in their life that, Lord, that need correcting, Lord Jesus. Lord God, may that healing balm of Gilead come down even now, Lord. And Lord God, heal their wounds, Lord Jesus. That old devil, he tries so hard to make us feel lost or make us feel like we're not going to make it, make us feel like we're not good enough. But those are lies. We have more authority than an archangel.
standing right beside you, Lord. We have more authority because we are your sons and your daughters. Lord, and as the prophet said, that power does not leave us. Whether we're on the mountaintop or we're in the valley, that power of God does not leave us. Oh God, I'm asking you that you'll bring the key of faith into the hearts this morning and release the power this morning, Lord. Lord, release the power that I can manifest the nature and the character of a son of God, Lord. Help them to manifest the character of a daughter of God this morning, Lord Jesus, of a godly wife, Lord, a godly husband, a godly son and daughter, Lord. The power is in us, but help us to release it, Lord. Lord, even as that sheep will bear the wool, Father, they don't try to manufacture nothing. He just be a sheep and he eats the grass. And he just be a sheep. God, I ask you, help us bear the wool this morning. Lord God, if that nature needs to be changed this morning, I ask you, Lord, change, Lord God. Lord, if we got chains on us, there's a chain breaker with us this morning. Lord, if there's someone that needs healing, there's a healer among us this morning, Father. And if you've ever done it for anybody else, if we'll come with the same attitude, you'll give us the same promise. God, I'm asking you, Jesus, walk the aisle this morning. Let us touch you, Lord. I want to touch your garment, Heavenly Father. Lord God, help them to reach out by faith now and just to claim you, Lord. I remember you were walking amidst the people. There was all kinds of people that were sick. And there was one little woman that had a blood issue problem, Lord. And she reached out and she touched you. And you said, who touched me? And the disciples said, Lord, there's many people touching you. He said, yeah, but I felt virtue that time. She reached out and she touched you, Lord God, by faith. And Lord, you healed every infirmity in her. God, I'm asking you, Lord Jesus, may you fill the infirmity, Lord, the blood, Lord, may it come right now that you can feel the touch from your children this morning. We're asking you, Lord God, help me. Heal me, Lord Jesus. Maybe they picked up a parasite somewhere, a spiritual, a devil that's tormenting them, Lord. They can be free this morning. I'm asking you, set them free from every infirmity. I'm asking you right now, brothers and sisters, if you are fighting something and you feel like you've got a spiritual parasite that's fighting against you, and you can accept it right where you're at, or if you say, Brother Daniel, I just don't know if I can or not, you come up here this morning. I don't care if it's sickness. I don't care if it's depression. I don't care what it is. If you have a spiritual parasite that's trying to fight you this morning, that you've been battling and you can't seem to get over it, we're going to open the altar up for you right now. It's open to you, every head bowed. It's up to you. I'm just here to help you as your brother. Brother, come on, stand. Claim me this morning.
Renew our right spirit within me. Shade.
Lord, that would try to hold the chains of doubt over my sister this morning, Lord. Lord, she wants the wall to be broken down this morning. I'm asking you, Father, that you will break the wall down, Lord God. I ask you that you will
Lord, give her the spiritual nourishment on the inside of her, refilling of the Holy Ghost this morning. Lord God, I ask you to go through the channels of her heart even now, Lord. Lord, I ask you to open every door. Lord, go through every closet of her heart right now, Lord God. If there be anything in her life that will hinder you from bringing her to her full potential as a daughter of God, Lord, I ask you to reveal it to her even now, Heavenly Father. Lord, I ask you to give her a stirring in her heart of faith, oh God. Lord, such a desire for the word, Lord, when she reads it or when she listens to the message, Lord, may your revelation pop out to her, God. Oh God, I'm asking you'll bless her and her family, Lord Jesus. I ask you to meet every need. Lord, I ask you to heal every infirmity, Heavenly Father, spiritual or natural, Father. Bring healing to the home, spiritual and natural, God. Help them to know their position in you. In Jesus' name. Don't you ever let that devil make you think he's got one over on you. He might have it over on you, but he didn't get it over the Lord. If you feel like you've got this trial coming through, you just remember, there's two ways you can look at that. You can look at one and say, Lord, why am I having to go back to the drawing board? Or you look at two, and you can say, thank you, Lord Jesus, for showing that to me. Now I'm going to go make it right. Humble yourself. Humble yourself before the Lord. Because if you don't listen to me, young people and old people, if you don't humble yourself before the Lord, listen, if you don't humble yourself before the Lord, He'll humble you. I love my children, whenever, especially when they're younger, I'd love them. Humble yourself, because if you don't, I will humble you. Because I will show you who's boss still. And Papa God will show us who's boss still. Amen? Do you believe that? I don't say that to scare you. I say that as your brother, to humble. Be humble. Just be humble. That's something we need. That's something that's completely contrary to what this world shows today, is being humble. Scripture says when you go to the Lord with thanksgiving. In other words, you're going to the Lord and you're saying, Lord Jesus, I'm not worthy of this, but Lord, I humbly come before you and I want to thank you. And you come with that attitude, you're going to get his attention. But if you ever go with the feeling that it's just owed to you, well, that might not work out so well. So you remember, humble yourself before the Lord.
Whenever you go, when you got time, when you're fixing to eat, it's the little things, friends. It's when you got the burger and fries in front of you. Don't just say a real, spit out just a real fast prayer and start eating. But take just a moment and say, Lord, I thank you for this food that you've given me. I thank you. Slow down. Humble yourself. I can't tell you no. Slow down. Right now, with all the activities going on, it's just go, 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 go. All this. People are, you know, they're trying to celebrate Christmas is what they call it. They're celebrating Christ's birth. They missed him the first time and they missed him the second time. They're looking for him to come in a cloud. He's already come in a cloud. Is that right? He's already come. They humble yourself this morning. I can't. Just such a good presence this morning. And I just want to thank you for pulling on the word this morning. I feel very, very little before you. And I just want you to know that if you've ever gone through something, you feel like you need to talk to somebody, that's what the ministry is here for. Amen. Brother Tim, you got a song.